Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm not sure if this exactly belongs here or not. I have visited No Sleep in the past, and there's some crazy stories. I can't say whether or not my experiences match what they went through, but maybe I'll be able to find out more information from one of you after posting this. It happened about a year ago, but still nags me every once in a while, and I like to get it off my chest. I was never afraid of the dark, even as a kid, but I am now that I am a grown man. After doing a little digging online, I think I know what it was that I experienced up there in the woods of Minnesota. The native people are extremely serious about this sort of matter, and you could see it in their faces how real it is to them. But I always thought of unexplained supernatural occurrences as superstition. For the sake of anonymity, I won't say which area this happened to me, as in I am still working for a forestry service. But I will tell you that it is north of Sturgeon River in Kuchiching Forest, and it is there where I had my first experience. But unfortunately, not the last. Let me give you a little background. For those of you that don't know, Minnesota is one of the most heavily forested parts of the US, and the northern wilderness is extremely remote. I grew up south of here, more towards the rural suburbs outside of Minneapolis, and went to a small college far north to get a degree as a natural resource tech. I didn't have a dad growing up, so my mom put me in activities like scouts and other outdoor male-oriented groups so I could at least have some positive male role models in my life, I assume. So I took a strong liking to the woods at an early age. While kids were trading Pokemon cards and playing N64 and GameCube, I was exploring, finding shotgun casings in the dirt and climbing trees. I was in two different scout-type groups growing up, and in the summer months, each troop had a monthly camping trip, so I was lucky enough to go camping twice a month during these times. I remember the scout leaders would tell us spooky stories before bed, a pretty typical scout camping activity. I remember one being told about a poltergeist at our school that could follow us home that particularly scared me. There was usually three adult troop leaders that would chaperone us on these trips, and one of my favorite was Mr. Keith. He was the one who told the poltergeist story. He was really into the supernatural stuff. Other troop leaders would tell us stories about slashers and beasts, where Mr. Keith's were a lot about things that you couldn't see. I could be wrong, but that could have been my first introduction into spirits and superstitious sorts of lore. Depending on what area you're in and how much Native American influence, there is a strong superstitious presence in certain parts of northern Minnesota. The Ojibwe tribe, also known as the Anishinaabe or better known as the Chippewa, lived heavily in Minnesota, as well as Ontario and North Dakota, and there is a dwindling but vocal and active presence in certain areas. While attending college, I learned a great deal about this tribe and other Native American tribes as the curriculum had a section devoted to history and cultural origins. Later, as a tech, I would actually get to meet some local tribe leaders/elders. While in college, I got my first job as a choker setter for a logging company operating about a half an hour from the small apartment I rented. It was basically 10 hours of rigging up and down trees, hooking up chokers and guiding cables. We had a small 3-man crew and it wasn't that bad. There wasn't any experience required, and I was able to work around my class schedule. Here is where I first experienced the feeling of really being cut off from the outside world. Just me and the two other guys for miles and miles. It is a strange feeling knowing that you're far from anyone else, from safety, from the nearest town or the nearest human beings for that matter, other than your crew. Some days there would be more guys operating machinery, driving trucks and supervising, and it felt a little better, but either way, you would get used to it. Out of college, I decided to stay with the same company and was promoted to sail prep tech after I received my degree. I had two options, prep tech or pullback, and I chose prep tech. I had a number of responsibilities and it kept work interesting seeing as I was doing something different every day. But basically, I would do timber marking, setting up boundaries as described in the contract. I would survey the layout, topography, and do GIS mapping so the crews knew what equipment was needed and what needed to be prepped to get crews and equipment in and operational. I typically worked by myself or occasionally with a 2-3-man crew, but we were never together. We would all separate and communicate on our CBs. Most of the areas I served were close to towns and cities doing site work for the new housing developments that needed clearing. But every once in a while, we would do work up in the forests where it was pretty remote, but usually never more than 1.5-hour trail ride to the nearest human. This time, however, they did send me up north in the woods. And I mean far. My company had happened to win a bid for a 120-acre plot up in the wilderness, and it was my job to start mapping and getting the plans laid. Part of the reason that we won the contract is that not every company was capable of even reaching this location in order to do the logging. We also agreed to aid in some reforestation once the land had been cleared. Turns out I had to backpack into this area in order to start mapping. We even joked about the possibility of me parachuting in. That is how far away from civilization it was. So I parked my company truck in the nearest public area parking and threw my giant backpack full of gear and camping equipment on my back and headed in. There was a few cars parked alongside mine whose owners were off in the forest camping, day tripping and so on in the immediate forested area. The land in these parts was split between conservation and private land parcels. The hike in took 10 hours. I didn't rush and stopped for rest whenever I felt the need to. For the first hour, there was a worn dirt trail, and I even saw one person taking nature photographs not too far from the trail. Eventually, I had the detour off of the trail and into the wilderness. When you're deep out there in the forest, it becomes much more darker and colder than if you were plainly outside. All sorts of noises emanate from all around you, and your mind begins to play tricks, even on seasoned veterans like myself. Even when we were on a 4-5-man crew, it didn't matter. It was late afternoon when I arrived at the outskirts of our freshly won parcel of land according to the GPS, and I decided to head in to the center of the parcel to set up camp. The work was supposed to take me 3 days, so I figured a nice central camp base would be most useful. Tired from the long trek in, I set up my tent, unpacked my belongings, and started a fire. Thinking back, the first sign that something wasn't right was when I was collecting extra wood for my campfire. I needed to make sure my fire lasted me until I went to bed. And I also wanted to make extra for the morning so I didn't have to go collecting before breakfast and coffee. While I was gathering kindling and dried brush, I had the feeling someone was watching me. And not the lame, made-for-TV special sort of watching me. Seriously watching me. It started to psych me out, to the point where I wasn't even collecting wood anymore. I looked left, right, forwards, and behind me every 2 minutes or so. Every crack of a branch echoed through the trees, seeming right next to me.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
To me, a claustrophobic feeling wrapped around me, and I could have sworn I heard some sort of chant. Or was it just a collaborative sort of sounds in the wilderness? I heard a beep 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 in the distance coming from my camp, which was somewhere behind me, which sort of snapped me out of whatever the heck was happening. I made my way back to camp, which was about half surrounded by pine bushes. I recognized the beeping from my GPS, which was indicating it was low on battery. Not to worry, I brought a portable power pack. On my very short walk back, I calmed down and shrugged it off. When I reached camp, all was well, and I set my inadequate amount of gathered wood off to the side and opened my tent to turn off the GPS. Everything was everywhere. My clothes were scattered, my surveying kit was opened, and the rest of my bag was strewn across the three-person tent. I jumped back for a minute and scanned my surroundings. It was hard to see more than 25 yards through the thick growth of the trees and plants. The failing sun was somewhere below the tops of the trees, and darkness began to blanket the area. I looked carefully back inside and began picking up my belongings, being watchful as I went because I thought an animal had been in my tent looking for food. Thinking back, I must have chosen to not notice that the tent had been zipped shut and there was no food missing. The rest of the evening went without incident. I had a nice fire and had made a nice small pot of tea, seeing as I'm not much of a beer or alcohol drinker. I really did love nature and the wilderness. Even after all the odd events of the day, I remember sitting in my collapsible chair and simply enjoying the solitude. It had to have been 67 degrees around 10 p.m. when I was getting ready for bed, and was simply a really nice July evening. I got up, tossed out my undrank tea, made sure all of my food was up off the ground, and thrown a shovel of dirt on my fire, extinguishing it. The moment it was out, I think I could still hear the embers and the coals popping and hissing under the fresh earth. It began. Almost instantly I heard, "Hello?" Clear as day, it came ringing through the trees, a lost sounding man's voice. I nearly jumped out of my skin, not because it was spooky, but because there shouldn't have been anyone around for miles. After a short minute of regaining my composure, I called back in what was supposed to be a strong, manly voice.
"Yeah?"
"I need..." It called back.
"What do you need? Where are you?"
I called out in no direction in particular. It was pitch black outside, and as I awaited the response, I threw myself into my tent and grabbed my flashlight. I take what I do for a living seriously, so I had spent thousands and thousands on my gear. I have a $3,000 LED flashlight that would light to around 350 yards no problem. So I grabbed it and flipped it on to scan through the trees.
"Where are you?"
I called while scanning the trees and walking slightly outside of my camp.
Can you turn on a light so I can locate you?
I want... came echoing through the trees from behind me. It was a whiny, drawn-out voice. It was sort of a mix between man and animal.
Sir, are you okay? Do you need medical attention?
I called out as I swept the powerful beam of my light where it sounded like the voice came from. Something then came from behind me where I was facing originally. It was a sort of low rumbling, gurgling noise that sounded like it was not 10 feet away from me. Swinging around once again, my light illuminated the forest, but no culprit. I stood there for the next 20 minutes scanning everywhere from the trees to the forest floor and even in between. During this time, I called out over and over again, offering my assistance, asking if the man was okay, but never daring to leave my small camp. After probably 45 minutes of hearing no other noises or responses, I got into my tent, zipped it closed, and got out my large hunting knife and my bear mace. I also got out my CB radio and tried to find someone on one of the channels in the area. As soon as I turned it on, the radio came alive.
Hello? You there?
A voice came from the radio. It was distant, lazy sounding. It felt like listening to a movie rather than someone actually talking. Ah, yes, this is my name, from my work. What are your coordinates? Silence. Once again, I repeated, this is my name, from my work. Do you read?
Is it cold out here to you?
The voice called back.
I sure do wish this lamp would light.
Where are you located? I asked once again, losing my patience.
Minucios, 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 Minucios.
It replied in a more direct but no less monotone voice. Where are you located? I asked again.
Well, right outside.
It roared with a light-hearted and humorous tone. Shocked, I dropped the receiver onto the inflatable mattress on which I was sitting, and the radio turned itself off, and at the same time, the campfire I had extinguished at this point an hour beforehand roared back to life like it had never been put out. As I got up to investigate, I could have sworn I heard the sound of a fingernail on vinyl along the entire side of my tent. I grabbed my bear mace and ran out of the tent with my flashlight and saw, once again, nothing. Must not have put this out properly, I said to myself in a poor attempt at reassurance, and I kicked dirt onto the fire which put it out. Not yet ready to go back inside my tent, I sat in the chair for some time, turning the flashlight over in my hands, illuminating different areas of the forest. I had heard the name Minucios before, but couldn't think of what it was from. I began thinking about the legends that I had heard about people's experience in the remotest parts of the country. By far, people with the most legends about forest dwellers are the Native Americans. Thinking about my experience earlier while collecting wood, the Ojibwe used to call certain places in the forest place where spirits of the echo lives. The Ojibwe that used to inhabit northern Minnesota was actually one of the most superstitious tribes. They lived in fear of an evil spirit, which was pronounced from the souls of the Sauk Indians, whom they had killed and whose land they had conquered. That's when it occurred to me. My skin erupted into goosebumps, my stomach did a flip-flop, and I remembered where I had heard the name from. Minucios is the term that used for the spirit of the evil one. Mr. Keith had told that tribes would come home from a hunt to find every single person left at the camp missing. Sap would still be boiling over the fire, ponies still tethered the trees, and shreds of wool stuck the branches leading in all directions, but no sign of a struggle. It was said that Monessus came to aid everyone in sight, sparing no one and leaving no one behind. I willed myself to stand up and walk tranced-like into my tent and laid down tired and scared. This was not the end of my night. Part 2. I never understood how characters in movies and books hide from the monsters by going beneath the covers and eventually falling asleep until morning. It seemed counterintuitive, but it happened to me. Well, except I wasn't fortunate enough to sleep till morning. The 10-hour hike, the psychological stress from the day, and the situation coupled with the accelerated heartbeat and exhaustion caught up with me. In my last post, I left off.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Where I forced myself up off the chair and into the tent where I laid down clutching my knife, my light, and my bear mace. My heart and my mind were racing. What did the voice on the CB radio mean? I thought back to what it said in a mechanical, almost computer-simulated sounding voice. Monosius, 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 Monosius. Was it telling me who it was? Was it calling out for Monosius, the evil one? Every crack, every tick, every hoot sounded like it was inside my tent. Every shuffle or scurry could be whatever was out there heading in my direction. If you've ever been out in the woods, not even that deep, but far enough away that you no longer hear noise pollution, the forest really comes to life and can almost be described as loud. At no time does this become more apparent than the night. It was nearly midnight by now, and seeing as nothing odd had happened since the CB radio incident, my heartbeat subsided, my alertness lowered, and I eventually dozed off. My eyes burst open. I looked at the entry to the tent, zipped shut. Good. I looked all around in the pitch-black darkness. All seemed well. I hit the button illuminating my watch. 1:15 a.m. Did I dream it, or did I wake up from my tent being shaken violently, jerking from side to side, tent poles creaking from the pressure and vinyl stretching to its limit? Static emitted from the CB radio, low and quiet, then increasing in volume. The static crackled louder. Fumbling around for the receiver in the darkness, and in the disoriented state in which I had awoke, I finally found it. The static stopped immediately. I had to have been sitting there for a good 5 minutes, staring at the black shape in my hand as it lay quiet, emanating no noise. Was I waiting for something to happen? Was I simply zoning out in my overtired state? Something in the far distance caught my attention. What the hell? It wasn't the radio. A drum began to beat. Boom, boom, boom. It was low. Like a big ceremonial drum, and each strike reverberated through the trees into my small tent and into my head. The drummer seemed to realize it caught my attention because it stopped for a moment. It could have been 30 seconds, it could have been 2 minutes. I could hear my heartbeat pounding in my ears. The hum of complete silence and the absence of the drum was almost loud. Recognizing this fact seemed to have caused my heart to race a little faster. The drum picked up again, the matching and beating of my heart with perfect rhythm. Boom, 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 boom. What the hell was happening? My heart was beating out of my chest, blood pounding in my ears. Banged the drum, louder and closer still. Suddenly, I could no longer feel or hear my heartbeat. The drum was gone, and a ringing grew in my ears. I went to clasp my hands to my head, but it had stopped as quickly as it came. There was no sound now. The forest had gone silent. No wings flapping in the night, no sticks fell, no branches creaked, and it was as if someone hit pause. The CB radio erupted on nearly full volume, despite me touching the volume controls.
Is it cold out here to you?
I jumped so high that from a sitting position, my head hit the top of the tent. It was the type of startled to where you leave your senses for a moment, where stars erupt in your eyes. It was the truest meaning of terror that I had ever known. It was the voice from earlier, nonchalant and perfectly conversational. Yet the voice sounded to be missing something, like whatever unexplained element in that makes a voice.
I was sure I could get this lamp to light.
It continued. This is the same crap it said earlier, I thought. Who the hell are you? I roared into the receiver, voice trembling.
You wouldn't happen to have a spare match, would you?
The voice replied as if it had not heard a word I said. Who are you? I'm calling the authorities. I had enough of this crap. Clearly someone was messing with me. Maybe the previous landowners? I fumbled around for my sat phone. Regular cell phones don't get a signal this far north, grasping it in the dark. Looking back, I have no idea why I didn't turn on my camp light. My only guess is that I didn't want to give away my position to some creeps messing with me in the woods. After a couple of moments, I located it underneath a t-shirt and pressed any random number to illuminate the screen. It lit up, showing me the set of options I had to make my calls, signal settings, etc. I pressed the call icon while trying to decide where the hell I was going to call. I was out here alone. Even a ranger from the nearest park would still be miles and miles away, and whoever was out there was close. Nothing happened. I pressed the phone icon again. Nothing. The settings icon, the call icon, the accessory GPS. Nothing. This damn thing was frozen. The CB that was sitting right next to me on the bed roared to life once again. It was the same aloof, nonchalant, and friendly sounding man's voice that I could only describe as coming from somewhere else. It quickly said, as casual as ever. I sat for a moment and stared at it. The little red light indicating it was on beamed like a sun in the otherwise pitch-dark tent. It spoke once again, this time slowly and casually.
You wouldn't happen to have a spare match, would you?
Silence. I, paralyzed, and it, awaiting a response. It spoke once more, as friendly and jovial as two neighbors talking over the fence.
The bodies just taste so damn better when they're cooked.
There was a conversational laugh at the end. The fire from outside my tent roared to life for a second time. The surrounding trees and brush now cast visible shadows onto the sides of my tent. I couldn't believe my ears, but there was no way I was staying there for another second. Almost instantly, I began scrambling around for my essentials. If I were to run like hell through the woods back to civilization, I would need my GPS, phone, knife, light, and mace. I had everything except the mace, but then I spotted it near the foot of the tent lying on its side. I crawled over to reach it, and then I heard it. Footsteps. Long, drawn footsteps. It sounded like something was walking in gravel. Each step sounded heavy. The silence of the forest was shattered by the same voice I had searched for with my flashlight earlier. "I need..." it gasped. The voice came from behind my tent. I grabbed the spray and pulled the safety pin, aiming the can. Whatever fudger was messing with me was about to get quite a painful surprise as soon as he got close enough. Let me say, at this point I was still convinced that I was getting messed with by some deranged hillbilly or something. Running right out of the tent was my first instinct. However, if they were close enough and had a gun, they would pop me off the moment I left the tent, since the fire was about 6 feet from my door, casting plenty of light. They could have just riddled the tent with bullets as well, I am aware, but hindsight is 20/20, and fear lessens your judgment. My plan was to wait until I saw the shadow of the dude cast itself onto the wall of my tent, then pop out and hit him with the bear mace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They could throw a jet up to 40 feet, then running like all hell into the woods. Silently, I unzipped the front door of the tent and crouched at the entrance, waiting. The steps grew closer and closer. Whatever it was drew long, rattled breaths that became clearer and clearer. A shadow began to creep on the side of my tent. A black mass grew from the bottom of my tent and made its way onto the wall. Something tall but extremely thin with exaggerated features. The hands were too long, fingers three times the size of normal ones, jointed at the wrong places, and a deer head was in place of a human one. Long antlers sprouted from each side. The shadow flickered into the firelight and it stood for a few moments as if it knew I was surveying its shadow. The long, rattling breaths continued as it stood still. After a moment, it drew in a deep, deep breath, far deeper than any man could. It sounded labored, as if it was trying with great difficulty to take in air. Then it let out the most disgusting noise I had ever heard. This noise had been in my dreams. I've heard it reverberating in my mind during the day. It was like nothing I had ever heard before, but now I can't stop hearing it. The following is the closest I could come to a description. I've actually had to walk away from my desk several times while typing this. Think of a man yelling at the top of his lungs, a man using so much force his voice is breaking, his vocal cords shredding. Pressure would be building in this man's head, veins pulsing in his temples, eyes becoming bloodshot. The sound of short, delicate human tissue maxing out and failing, then becoming weaker and weaker, and his voice failed him, and he was left to emit gurgling noises as the last of the air escaped his body and passed through the buildup of saliva, blood, and fluids. That is the frickin' sound I heard. I bolted. Eyes watering, stars exploding in the field of my vision. I was about 15 feet away from the tent and the fire when I spared a glimpse back towards the creature. It was moving towards me. It had to have been 9 feet tall, Its body sort of resembled a man's, except for the elongated features I had already seen in the shadow. It was a white-gray color with brown stains around the skull and on its body. The last thing I remembered seeing before facing forward was that it wasn't a deer head, but it was a deer's skull that it was now staring at me from across the fire. Lungs aching and nursing the worst cramp I had ever had in my side, I ran and ran. I hit my head on a few branches and caught a couple of sticks across the face as I weaved in and out of the barely visible trees and brush. I had no idea how far away I was from camp, what direction I was heading, or where the hell that thing was. After what felt like miles, I could no longer run and I had to stop. At this point, I was so exhausted both mentally and physically that I remembered thinking that if it caught up to me and killed me, at least I wouldn't be so exhausted anymore. Still walking, I made my way through the trees, looking up towards the stars in the attempt to regain my bearings. Then, I heard my voice calling from all around me, bouncing through the trees. What do you need? Where are you? It was my voice. My frickin' voice. After a moment, I heard myself again. Sir, are you okay? Do you need medical assistance? It came from all sides of me. What was going on? Wait a minute. I said that shit earlier. It was mimicking me. I felt sick. I remember leaning up against a tree that had two large roots sticking from the earth and sliding down it until I was sitting, my head in between my legs. I took a few deep breaths as I heard myself echoing through the forest, repeating everything I had said aloud that night, including lyrics from a Tool song that I had been singing to myself quietly as I hiked in the camp. There's a shadow just behind me, shrouding every breath I take. I will find the center in you. I will chew it up and leave. Suddenly I was awake again, and it was daylight. I was laying on the ground in the fetal position, looking across at the tree with the two large roots sticking out from the earth about 10 feet away. I must have rolled or moved in my sleep. I quickly got to my feet, and my eyes drank in all the wonderful daylight. After feeling as if I was blind for the past 11 hours in the pitch-dark forest, I could finally see. I could see through the trees, see distant details, and the sounds of nature had returned. I didn't go back for my things. I didn't even make any attempt to look for camp. The only thing I did was gather a heading and set off in what I hoped was civilization. The fact that I woke up in the morning must mean I had fallen asleep. I have no recollection of how I fell asleep, or how I didn't get caught by whatever was out there. I did finally come across a ranger station after 12 hours. I'd eaten a handful of leaves and edible berries to keep my strength up, and by the time I had gotten home, I had lost 15 pounds. I told my boss that I had gotten sick, and due to my sickness, I had gotten lost on my way to camp, and told him that I would have to resign effective immediately unless I'd gotten a desk job. He looked at me almost knowingly. His face seemed to fall, not out of disappointment in losing a field tech, but almost as confirmation. My boss was not a man to show emotion lightly and had worked as a field supervisor for 20 years. So when I saw the look on his face, it was the strangest thing. He quickly regained himself, and to my surprise, he said that wouldn't be a problem. The only thing that still bothers me is how I woke up that far away from where I last remember, and there's also this mark on my body that I don't remember being there. It is right under my left arm, sort of where the armpit is, and it looks like the letter I. The woods are dangerous. There are things much older and unforgiving than wolves or bears. We give Native Americans tons of credit, and look to them in some regard as a model to live as one with nature, curing themselves to ailments with natural remedies that come from the ground, and to treat the earth with respect. They were also aware of beings beyond our grasp and out of our control. I never paid much attention to it, but maybe I should have, given my profession especially. Nowadays, the deep woods seem a little bit more accessible. Technology and trends and outdoor lifestyles have brought people experienced or not deeper and deeper into unfamiliar terrain. Families go on backpacking trips deep into the wilderness. Fathers and sons hunt for food and sport, and moms and dads bring their children into the seclusion of the woods. However, the spirits are still there. The evil that has always inhabited those parts remain, and they survive on the unfortunate few each and every year. Please, stay out of there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.